Thanks so much for tuning in. We got Out of the Box coming up in just a minute. Hey. Hey. There we go. I'm Jonathan Jay. I'll be your host this afternoon. I'm terribly, terribly pleased that you've tuned in this afternoon after a fantastic show with Schutz. You are listening to Ann Ellie. You guys made some bomb noises today. That was awesome. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. So happy to have you here. 90.9, 91.9, 92.7, 95.1, and
104.7.
Nahiku, number 7. So thanks so much. We'll be back in just a little bit with more of this.
What should I do? I get whatever I'm building. I get whatever I need. While my blood still flows and my heart still beats, beating on the beating like a hammer, beating like a hammer.
That means you're alive, so thanks so much for tuning in to Out of the Box after a fantastic show by Schutz, and Ellie. You guys, that was great.
Thank you
so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening and loving Kauai Community Radio, the radio station that loves you. Out of the box today, what? What?
Later?
All right, later. Later. Peace out. Peace out. So that was Schutz and Ellie taking off. You guys drive safe.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Today we got a pretty amazing show. Let's see. We are going to, we meaning you and I. First off, I've been off the island for like 2 weeks almost, and I just got back. I was in Brooklyn, so I went there to get my mom. I brought her back with me. I've got her here. She'll be in the studio listening and taking questions from you. We're gonna have a big talk with my mom at 5, so tune in for that. And if you have questions that you'd like to ask her, maybe about me, maybe about who knows what you do, so you can do that. That'll be at 5. But before that, the first hour, we're going to see how much we can cram in. We've got 5 folks who are very concerned about the state of affairs at the Kauai Humane Society. They seem to feel quite strongly that some inhumane things are being routinized at the Kauai Humane Society. So we're going to hear their perspectives. I know that in a show last week, I think Felicia covered this topic from a couple different angles, and we're going to be covering it from 5 more. Seems like some stories there's more than 2 sides to, and we're going to hear 5 more today. So I don't know if it's the most important perspective, but these are 5 perspectives that you're going to hear and be able to decide what you think. We'll ask them questions. I'll ask them some questions. We'll open up the phone lines. You can talk to them. It should be great. It should be wonderful. Also, we have, I hope that we're going to get a call in from a master paddler from Tahiti. A fellow named Manutea is, I've heard, a man from Japan came from Japan here, a guy named Kenny. I met him this morning at paddle practice. He came across the ocean from Japan to come here, to be here when Manutea is going to give a paddling workshop, a master paddling workshop. Kenny told me that Manutea is perhaps the best steersman in the world. So if you're interested in paddling and you want to learn more, in about an hour from now, he's going to be doing a live demo, hands-on stuff at the mouth of the Wailua River, right in the heart of the Puna district, the Moku of Puna on the east side of Kauai. So that's pretty exciting. What else? There's some other things. Andrea Brower is going to be calling in right at 5, and she's going to give us an update on the TPP, which is the transnational power partnership that globalized corporations are trying to forge so that they can float above the international law and the law of individual nations, so they can override health, worker safety, environmental, whatever kind of laws get in the way of them making the kind of profits they feel they should. That's what they're trying to do. So if you support that, then you'll want to know more about what the TPP is up to and how you can get involved and help. And if you don't support that, then you'll want to learn more about what the TPP is doing and how you can get involved and resist. So, gosh, I think there was something else that is going to happen today, too. But, hey, you know, with Out of the Box, you never really do know. So thanks so much for tuning in. KKCR, it's the station that loves you, and I certainly love you. The phone line here is 826-7771. I'm going to have just a few minutes available to take calls from folks real quick. You can bring me up to speed with what did I miss in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to go to a little music here. I'll just stay live here, and I'll give out the phone number again, 826-7771. I'm going to leave the next 8 minutes open for as many calls as we can get. I don't have anybody in here helping me answer the phones, so it's tricky for me to do that and the show all at the same time, run the board, talk to the guests, keep the flow going, such, such. So now is a great time for you to call in, because there we go. And if you want to get involved in KKCR Radio, you can do it. And one way you could get involved is come in every other week and help me do the show. I could certainly use another pair of hands. Believe me, I only have two. So let's see who's calling in here. It's just one more button there. And Aloha Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Jonathan, I want to congratulate you on your announcement.
Oh, which one?
The one about getting married.
Oh, yeah, that's exciting. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought maybe you meant the other one where I turned 50. I've entered my 50th year.
Okay. Well, I just entered my 70th year. Been there, done that.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, maybe you can tell me what I got coming.
It gets better.
Have you been married before?
Oh, yes.
Have you been married to Joanna Patricia Fazzo?
Oh, I don't think a gentleman would never tell.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking for advice.
Keep it positive. Always support one another. Never go to sleep if you've had an argument. You just stay up and get it resolved, and then you go to sleep.
Oh, well, that sounds actually kind of cool, because I love staying up, and any excuse to do that, you know, that sounds good.
These are things that work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, Joanna Fazzo, I don't know if many people... Actually, I know that many people on the island do know her. She was a yoga instructor here for many years. And also waited tables at the Oasis restaurant, and was one of the principals involved, if anyone remembers, which I know people do, the vegan fusion restaurant, or the Blossoming Lotus. And that was a great thing.
It really was, and I'm really, really excited for you guys. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That's terribly, terribly kind of you.
Okay. I'll let you go.
All right. Aloha. We've got another caller. On the air. Aloha caller, thank you so much for tuning in to Out of the Box and calling us at 826-7771. Can you hear me, caller? Okay, that is sort of a no. All right, so the phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you have any announcements about community meetings or something coming up, or if you've lost a dog or a cat and you're concerned that somebody might take it to the Humane Society and you want to, you know, get your cat back before something bad happens to it, you can call here, 826-7771, and we'll be happy to put out the word that your cat is missing or that you found a cat. You know, community radio is a magical thing. It's our own radio station for our community here on the island of Kauai, where anybody can call in and make use of our own airwaves to talk to everybody. It's like magic. And I think we've got another caller on the air.
Aloha, Jonathan.
Aloha. Thank you so much for calling. First-time caller.
Yes, thank you. Do you happen to know about the plans for the Big Save Lihue? The former Big Save Lihue?
I know about the former Big Save Lihue. I have no idea what the plans are.
I thought one of the projected uses for that space was a giant, you know, all types of organic produce and product offering.
Oh, like a centralized, permanent, seven days a week, round the clock, organic produce superstore?
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
I heard about this perhaps over a year ago, and the thing that, you know, irritates me about good old Hawaii is that I used to live in Berserkly in the early 70s, and there were, like, I think three or four, or maybe two or three, actually, giant supermarket co-op type stores. And why we have these, you know, anti-people laws that, you know, preclude us from having co-ops, you know. I mean, aside the phony electric co-op, no offense to KUC, but, I would like to see, you know, a real co-op with real, you know, for people to buy food.
And why do you favor, food? It sounds like you're a big fan of food.
Well, no, I just, I'm really a fan. The thing I'm really great concerned is most people don't understand that under Mr. Obama, that the money supply has gone from $800 billion to over $4 trillion, which means that pretty soon the kimchi is going to hit the fan. So, you know, the whole thing is, you know, even though they've done the stress tests on the banks and all that, basically, you know, we're lucky we have some sentient individuals who are pushing us for, like, you know, seed storage and heirloom seed storage and growing your own kind, because pretty soon the money will be literally worth less.
So I want to ask you a question, caller, because I'm confused.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about how great an idea it would be to have an organic, nonstop, 7 days a week, morning till night.
Whenever.
Organic superstore for farmers all over the island to sell their produce and value-added products. And and that was going to be at the old Big Save location in Lihue. That would be a wonderfully centralized location for all the organic, because, you know, like right now you have the farmers markets that are like here today, gone tomorrow, there today, gone next week.
Quite,
you know,
pricey.
They pop up and down like popcorn. And you, like in Kapa'a, I would love to be able to go to the Wednesday farmers market there on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, because I don't know about you, but I eat food more than one day a week.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, I'm just trying to say that, you know, because of the tenuous situation with the U.S. dollar and that whole funny money situation, that we're lucky that, you know, we have a lot of folks who are pushing, you know, being self-sufficient. And that's why I think that anything that would move in that direction, because pretty soon, you know, I mean, the 2008 financial crisis is going to look like nothing, because basically there's over about $500 trillion worth of derivatives that is backing our debt. And so it's not just Europe that's in, or Greece, or the pig countries, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain.
Is that nice to say about those countries, caller?
Well, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain.
Oh, it's an acronym.
Yes, sir.
Ah, okay. My bad.
The pig countries.
My bad.
Yes. You know, this is not referring to their behavior, even though what I've heard about Italy,
Let's keep it positive.
I don't know if I'd want to go there, because I like people standing in line. That's my Germanic side, I guess.
Well, you know, let's keep it positive. Plus, my fiance, she lives in Italy. She has an Italian passport. So I'm not going to take kindly to anybody saying anything bad about Italian.
It sounds sort of crazy, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's what I just wanted to throw, you know, ideas about being prepared for, you know, perhaps like something untoward happening.
Well, last time I checked, you can't eat derivatives. So I think the idea of an organic superstore farmers market extravaganza in the old Big Save location, centrally located in Lihue, so everybody in the whole island can get there, I think that sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for calling in, caller. Really appreciate calls like that. And other people, other folks, you, that's right, you. Yeah, you. Write this number down, 826-7771, because that's the number for you to call in here. And we're going to come back with some guests. We're going to have a whole big conversation about the Humane Society and some concerns they have about what's going on there. But and so we'll just kind of let them start the conversation. But then it'd be wonderful for you guys to call in, because I want to hear what you have to say. And if you have a question based on what you're hearing, probably somebody else does too. So please do write this number down, 826-7771. And in about 20 minutes, not now, we will take your calls and questions. So thanks so much. And take a little musical break, and we'll come back with either the Master Tahitian Paddler or the folks concerned about an inhumane society on Kauai. So you listen to Out of the Box with Jonathan Jay. Thanks so much for sharing your afternoon with me. Really appreciate it. You guys rock. You know, that was a series of noises from some of our furry friends. They don't get a chance to get on mic as much as some of the Homo sapiens sapiens. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but human beings tend to hog things up a little bit. It's kind of ironic. But let's see. In the studio with me now, and thanks so much, everyone, for coming in. Let me get all your mics on and up. Mic 3, mic 4, mic 5.
All of the mic.
Yeah. All right, does everybody have a mic?
Mic.
Everybody say mic.
Mic.
Okay. So I'm going to introduce you in turn so that our listener can get a chance to sort of identify the timbre of your voice with your name. So let's start with Ron Hinkle.
Glad to be here today, Jonathan.
Please quickly introduce yourself, say who you are and why you're here.
My name's Ron Hinkle. I'm a previous board member
of the
Kauai Humane
Society.
Okay. I was a volunteer for 7 to 8 years. Resigned that position just last week.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess we'll find out why a little bit later. Next we have Basil Scott. Basil or Basil?
Basil.
Basil, okay.
Yeah. Aloha, and thanks for having us. Basil Scott. I've been involved with animal rescue and care. I run an organization called Kauai Community Cat Project, and so I've had a lot of interaction with Kauai Humane over the last few years.
Oh, okay. That sounds very interesting. Next, we have Brandy. Is it Varvel or Varvel?
Varvel.
Okay, that sounds... like a cartoon superhero or something.
That's me.
Awesome. All right, so please tell everyone how incredibly awesome you are and what edition that you're on, what number.
I've been working at the Kauai Humane Society for just under 3 years, and I am the outreach and client services manager.
All right, and do you have your own cartoon serialized?
Oh, I don't.
But if you did, what would it be called?
Catwoman.
Okay, the Varvelous Catwoman. Thank you for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
And then also we have Mana Brown. Mana, are you on the mic?
Yes.
Awesome. Can you hear you in your ears?
Yes.
Fantastic. Tell us about yourself.
I'm the president field service manager for the Kauai Humane Society. I've been working there for almost 6 years now.
Oh, okay. So what is your position again?
I'm the field service manager. So,
yeah. What is that?
Basically, I'm in charge of the officers. So the humane officers, we go out and catch stray animals, bring them into the shelter. We also do the investigations.
Cool. And then last but not least, we have, let's see, I do not have your name on this feed. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Jonathan. I'm Mark Hurt.
Hey, Mark.
My wife and I...
Who typed this up? Why is his name not on
there? Sorry. I'm a bad typist. No, my wife and I have a home here on Kauai. We also support quite a number of animal rescue organizations. And so we're here representing a lot of the donors and supporters, hoping to get things back on track.
Hmm. Okay. Maybe I'll just ask this, but maybe you know, what is the general funding profile of the Kauai Humane Society? Like, what's their annual budget, and what are the main sources of those? I mean, like in round numbers. Don't say 319,000, just say 320.
It's been between $2 million and $2.5 million of revenue over the last 5 years. And on the expense side, it's been nominally around $2 million to 2.2, maybe 2.3 over the last 5 years.
So, but it's a nonprofit organization, so they're building up a reserve, I guess is what you'd say.
There's negative reserve in some years and positive reserve in other years. There's a whole conversation, I think, on the financials.
All right.
But it's a nonprofit, but it also does some activities for fee, such as boarding animals. They run the
waterboarding.
Thankfully not.
Okay, good. Because some people say that's torture. Some people say it isn't, but, you know, they haven't been waterboarded, so... what are the basic sectors of their funding? How does the Humane Society here in Kauai, how are they supported?
Well, there's the county of Kauai donates actually. Well,
do they donate or do they contract with them? Or?
It's a contract.
Okay.
I think it's probably technically a grant, and that's a very big chunk of money. Typically the largest, but not necessarily.
So is that like half a mil or 750?
750.
Okay.
760 to be precise.
Okay, ballpark. Awesome. And so then where does the rest of the 1.25 million come from?
Around 600,000 to 700,000 comes from donations, some large donations, some small donations. There's a Save Our Shearwater program, which would seem to donate a lot of money, although it's been hard for me to track that down exactly. And then finally, there's a thing called program revenue. So Kauai Humane makes...
There you go. See how much better you sound?
I got to get this...
There you go.
A little too, yeah.
Could you please help him?
Thank you. I need all the help I get.
There we go. We all do. We all do. Nobody can do anything. You know that whole Horatio Alger BS? Yeah, he pulled himself
no
up by his own
everything.
Bootstraps.
Yeah.
Who made the boots? Who built the factory that the boots were made in? Who made the roads that the factory workers drove to? You know, it's like Horatio Alger, enough already. So everybody helps everybody. That's how anything ever gets done.
Anyway, I just wanted to add the last chunk of money is about $500,000 a year from everything from boarding animals to the sales at the thrift store to vet services and things like that.
Okay, so that's like just revenue for services rendered.
Correct.
All right, well, so that's a pretty straightforward picture. Thank you. What do you also know generally, like in big blocks, like how they're spending money?
That, unfortunately, is a harder answer because it's divided into more areas.
Sure.
In general, about half of the money goes for salary and about half of the money goes for program activities, everything from cat and dog food to keeping the building maintained.
All right. So you guys are all here today. It's a beautiful day. None of us are out surfing right now. None of us are at the beach. None of us are hiking beautiful trails, waterfalls. There's so many different things that we can do here, spending time with our family, reading good books. You know, the list is endless. But you guys are here today. Why are you here today? And I guess we could just start with you, Brandy.
Well, part of it is we wanted to help set the record straight. Monica can finish up on that.
Yeah, and just so listeners are clear, Mana and Brandy, you are employees of the Kauai Humane Society.
Yes.
And you're not volunteers.
Correct.
And you are in managerial positions.
Yes.
at the KHS.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm bad with acronyms. And so you have staff working under you. So you're in positions of authority within this organization.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Why are you guys here today?
Well, we're basically here today. We want to set the record straight and discuss the issues that's going on at the Kauai Humane Society.
And what do you feel those issues are? Because we did a show a couple days ago, Felicia on her Kauai Soapbox show. She covered this. Did you guys hear that show?
Yes.
What do you think was missing from that show? Well, okay, let me ask it a different way. What do you think were the good points that were brought up during that show? Let me try again. What did you think of that show?
I think it could have been handled a little bit better. I think if there was a lot more based in what was going on, I think a lot of questions weren't asked during those shows that really needed to be answered. And a lot of things were skated and floated by. So people didn't really get to understand the full issues that really is going on at the shelter. I mean, it's... Every place has problems, but we have a very big problem at our shelter.
All right. So then rather than speaking elliptically or abstractly about the situation at the Kauai Humane Society, why don't you explain what you feel that is? Let's talk facts here.
Okay. Well, just to give a little background, because a lot of people think, you know, this just came about and we're just speaking about this now. This has been a boiling pot for a long time.
Okay. What is in the pot that's boiling? That's what I want to get to and right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, there are managerial issues, issues with animal neglect, animal care, many issues that we have all brought to our supervisor, Penny Sestaro.
Mm-hmm.
And this has gone on for over a year. Issues of decline in animal care, and that's not due to the employees. Employees, we have a lot of amazing, hardworking, dedicated employees.
How would you?
It's due to a manager that Penny had brought on. And so there's issues with multiple people as well as animal care. And so...
So there's personnel issues.
Yes, personnel issues that reflects down on the animals.
Okay.
And so as managers and even employees beneath us have come to us repeatedly over and over for a year, you know, I want to quit. I'm going to quit. I can't take this anymore. The animals are not being cared for.
Let's stay on that for just a moment, because I think that might... I think a lot of people really love animals.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do. As a human being animal, I love animals. I like cats. I like dogs. I like people. Some more than other.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
But what is the deal with the animals at the Kauai Humane Society? How humane is this society acting?
So are you asking for examples of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we
really talking about?
Okay. So certain examples would be, the rooms that contain the animals, the cages, those should be cleaned as early as possible in the morning so they're not sitting in their feces and they have fresh water.
You can say poop on them.
And so with the management that she had brought on, this was not happening. So we're going into rooms at 2 p.m., 3 p.m.
Still very poopy.
Yeah, kittens that have a towel, they've moved a towel on top of their litter box. They can't access their litter box. We have empty water bowls, as well as it's not a healthy environment.
Hmm. That seems weird.
Yeah. And as well as...
I mean, like, you could get a babysitter to do that. Hey, could you take care of my cat?
Right.
It's not that complicated.
Right. And again, this isn't reflective on many of the employees. We have employees who go above and beyond, but it was generally around a specific person. However, multiple managers took the issue to Penny, and over a year, there were never any changes. And, you know, these were serious issues.
What are some other examples of
some other examples? Issues? You know, we do private boarding, so people pay us money to board their pets. And
like when they go on vacation or
exactly,
whatever?
Exactly.
Or when they need a vacation from their dog?
And so, you know, we open the building at 6 a.m. Employees start at 5:30 or 6. And, you know, as a manager, there's certain days I come in at 7:30. I know where in the cleaning process they should be. Usually all of the dogs are out. The dogs are supposed to be let out and fed. And that's usually all done by 7:30. There are times when I come in at 9 and someone had called out the night before, and the manager knew that, but yet did not cover that shift to have someone make sure that those dogs are getting out and fed.
How many dogs and cats are at the facility on an average day?
Like
10, 20, 15,000?
No, with the dogs, I would say an average about 100.
That's a lot of dogs.
Yeah. When you're not just adoptable dogs up for adoption, but we also have, you know, ones that are coming in through the officers. We also have boarding dogs.
So coming in through, those are dogs that have been, like,
picked up as strays.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And how many cats?
Cats, I would say about 50, 60. That's just an estimate.
And how many people?
It depends on if we're in kitten season or not.
Oh, right, kitten season.
We have 36 employees, but some of those are off-site at a thrift store as well.
Okay. Kitten season, what is that?
Basically, kitten season is this time of year where a lot of the cats come into estrus. They get pregnant, and people bring in cats to us because they find them. Or they think that maybe the moms have abandoned them, or maybe they actually did abandon them.
So there's actually a kitten season? They don't just kind of have kittens whenever?
They have kittens year-round, but more certain times of the year, they spike a lot higher.
When is kitten season?
It can start like February, March.
Oh, are we in kitten season right now?
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. You know, I did not know that.
Late spring, early summer is the big boom.
I'll keep that in mind. So the animals aren't being very well cared for. Well, that I don't understand how that could be. I mean, you are each in positions of responsibility, and the question occurs to me to ask, why aren't you taking better care of the animals? What's somebody stopping you?
Neither of us are in charge of that department. And again, we documented, as well as another manager who's not here, and documented all of these instances. Dates, times, took pictures, and have taken and took them to Penny over and over, and there was no improvement to that. Just an example, just 2 weeks ago, I was working at, or about 3 weeks ago on a Friday, and I was working at 8:30 in the morning at the front desk, and one of the animal care employees came up to me just really frazzled, and she said, "I'm so sorry, Brandy, if you need any anything from the back, I'm the only person working the entire animal care section." Normally, there should be two, if not three, people opening the building. So she's responsible for taking out and feeding every single animal. And so she
that's like 150 cats and dogs.
Yeah, she was primarily doing the dogs, but so she took it upon herself to come in at 4:30. So again, we have amazing employees. There's an issue with the management coming from the top.
So this is management in a sector that's not the one that you're in. What are you in again?
I'm outreach and client services.
And then Mana?
I'm the field service manager.
Okay, so you are in charge of sending people go out to get lost dogs or stray dogs. Okay.
Yes, and also do investigation.
Okay. It's very unusual to have employees of the Humane Society, or any nonprofit really for that matter, to come into a radio station and articulate grievances that they have about the way the organization is run, or managerial issues, or personnel issues, or how well you feel that your organization is meeting your mission statement. So let me ask you, what is the mission statement of the Kauai Humane Society, and why are you here right now? Why are we talking about this on the air? In most situations, it would seem to me that if you have a personnel difficulty, you go to the personnel officer. If you have a managerial issue, you go to the manager. I mean, there's like processes to deal with problems as they come up. So why didn't that work?
That's why we're here, because it didn't work. like we said, we took them over and over and over to our executive director, and there was no improvement, at which time myself and another manager met privately with a board member, talked over it with her, and then we were told basically they didn't want to do anything because they were afraid of losing donors, at which time Mana reached out to the board president.
Yeah, I sent an email out to the board president to ask for a meeting to discuss the issues that all of us have at the shelter. You know, I mean, I don't want to say all of us, but there's a lot of us that have issues with how it's being run and how the animals are being taken care of there. And so I took it upon myself to try and make that connection. And, you know, I had a meeting with them and basically was just shot down and said, we don't get involved. We only oversee the executive director.
That sounds right, actually.
Yeah. And, but, you know, for me, this is a total different issue. You know, it's so much bigger than that. And I understand not getting involved to the day-to-day activities.
Sure. That's actually appropriate for, is my understanding of how directors work in nonprofits and stuff. They don't get into the, you know, did this do that? Should be washed first, wash your hands, you know.
But when the issue is stemming from our boss, who do we go to? Who do we talk to? You know, how can you fix that? You can't fix that if the issue is stemming from our boss.
Okay, well, Ron,
yes.
You were, up until quite recently, a director on the board.
I was on the board of directors for approximately 2 years.
Okay.
And
but you resigned a week ago?
No, I resigned as a volunteer last week. I've been volunteering there for about 7 years.
Huh.
And I was approached about 2 years ago to come onto the board, which I accepted.
Are you still on the board?
No, I resigned from the board last September.
Oh, okay. Was that related to any of this, or is that just a completely separate issue?
It's separate issues. There was many reasons why I did.
As a
board member, though, we were instructed not... Our main focus was the financial stability of the Kauai Humane Society. We were not to be involved with the employees.
Sure. Because you guys, it's my understanding that as a board, you select and confirm the executive director.
That's correct.
And then she or he is responsible for running the organization on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, and I was on the board when Penny was hired. And when she came on board, she made it very clear that we were not to cross the line, talk to the employees. Now, I was a volunteer, and when I came on the board, I made it very clear that I wanted to continue my volunteer duties because I enjoyed it so much, working with the animals, working with Dr. Don in the clinic, neutering, spaying.
Penny, that's got to be fun.
Penny was aghast. She made it clear to me several times that in no way should I be volunteering. It confused the employees, were her words.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, as a former board member, if a situation arose where there was some kind of intractable grievance with the executive director that some or many of the employees were having, and there was, what do you understand is the appropriate grievance procedure to address issues like that? Because these things do happen.
They do happen.
Sure.
And, I was instructed as a volunteer, if people came to me with a problem, I had to direct them on to Penny. That was the chain of command. We were made aware of a lot of issues going on. The employees were unhappy, but I tried to keep that line definite. You know,
sure,
employees go
division
over there.
Of it, labor, it's it, a really it great work. Idea.
But the board was not really in the loop, let's say. You know, after 2 years, I would have to say it was a pretty dysfunctional group. You had two or three people running the board out of 13 members on the board. Only two or three did all the work up there. The rest of us showed up every other month and rubber stamped everything that was going on.
It sounds like you're including yourself in
I was very much a part of that, and that's one of the reasons I resigned. I was filling a chair, you know, for 2 hours every other month.
You're doing a great job right now.
It's a very comfortable chair. Thank you. So I just, you know, I can't, me and Penny had a very bumpy relationship. So, you know, why bother being on a board where I wasn't appreciated, I wasn't being utilized? I came from a nonprofit for 35 years working in the insurance industry, and that's what I thought I could give to the board was some insurance advice. Never once in 2 years was I asked to look at a policy, recommend limits, do anything.
That's like a lapse of judgment there, because if you have a particular skill set or background that has value to, I would be tapping you for that like in a heartbeat. Because insurance, that's a big deal. That's a high ticket item.
It's very.
I mean, you have a lot of liability with all those individual animals and stuff. So
right. So I was just frustrated, and I thought I just want to go back to my volunteering, and so I resigned from the board.
Well, Basil, I haven't really brought you into the conversation yet. So let's do that now. You've been hearing the things that the others, Brandy and Mana and Ron, have been saying. What's your dog in this fight?
I'll talk about two things, I think.
And just so that the listener knows, say again the name of your organization.
It's Kauai Community Cat Project.
That's KCCP.
Yes.
Sounds kind of Soviet.
People have pointed that out.
Yeah.
We are focused on cats, and I think my story is that I got pulled into this because of a specific incident. And then
would that be the salt pond kittens?
That would be
kittens?
The salt pond kittens.
Okay,
yes.
So we'll talk about the salt pond kittens.
And then once I got pulled into it, I really started focusing on what's going on, and I discovered a lot of things that were frankly startling to me.
So like what?
Well, the fact that well over 70% of the staff has resigned since Penny became the executive director.
That's a pretty high churn rate. How do those metrics compare to other organizations of similar size and scale or other branches? Because the Humane Society...
I worked in a company in Hawaii. We had 5% or less per year. I think any well-run organization has less than 10% per year.
How many branches? There's got to be hundreds of branches of the Humane Society, though, yeah?
They're not affiliated.
Right, they're all independent.
They're all independent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway, the deal with the salt pond kittens is that there was a poisoning. And the mother of these kittens was dead. And so people, there's a woman at Salt Pond, I'll just use her first name, Vilma, who has worked with cats in that area for many years. Mana was there and trapped two of these kittens. Vilma wanted to keep the kittens, and she called one of our people asking for help. Can you take these kittens?
How many of these salt pond kittens were there?
There were a total of six.
That's kind of an average size litter, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
It's actually large for a cat in a field like that.
And what kind of cats are these, by the way? Are they cute?
They were pretty cute.
Are they long hair?
They were medium hair.
Medium. Are they polydactyl?
That's a word. I believe they only had 10 total.
Oh, okay. Because once I knew a cat.
20, sorry.
I knew a cat that had 26 claws. Six in the front and then seven in the back. That's one for every letter of the alphabet. That's a lot of claws.
Yeah.
But so these are medium hair kittens. Are they calico? Are they black and white?
They're black and white.
And, we, in a year, handle between 100 and 150 kittens.
At your organization?
At my organization.
Okay, which is the...
KCCP.
Kauai Community Cat Project. Different organization
Completely independent.
Okay.
So I would rate these cats an 8 or a 9 on the scale of 10.
Of cuteness?
Of health.
Oh, okay.
They had no eye issues, no respiratory issues, no skin issues, and no poop issues. So we could use that word.
We can. What would a poop issue be?
Coccidia, for example.
Now, I don't know if you can say that.
That causes smelly diarrhea, which can go on for weeks.
Is that like a, what is that? Is that
it's
like?
It's a
cytoplasm or
it's
something?
It's a protozoa.
Yeah. Protozoa.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mana.
Awesome. Thank you, Mana.
Oh, okay. So anyway, these cats were very healthy, and Penny told Sue, talk to me in the morning.
Who is Sue?
Sue is the woman called, and she's also my wife.
She
is the woman who Vilma called. I actually overheard this phone call.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of
a
witness.
Snooping?
Mon is a witness. It was on speaker. Mon is a witness. I'm a witness.
Because my mom, once my mom snooped on a phone conversation with me, my mom is in the back of the room here, and maybe we can talk about that. It's a really good story. But back to cats.
In any case, when Sue showed up the next morning, Penny told her the cats had already been euthanized, and she was very surprised.
Wait, why? What? What happened to the? Why?
Yeah,
just so that everyone understands, euthanized
means killed.
It means killed.
Yes.
Can we just skip the big syllable words and just say killing cats?
The kittens had been killed.
Okay.
So,
and the reason why I say that is because I don't want to dress things up and put a cloak of many syllables and between what's the real deal.
Yeah.
So these cats,
which was first of all just a surprise. I mean, fairly 12 hours prior or 16 or whatever, Penny had said, talk to me in the morning. So she shows up to talk to Penny in the morning. Penny says, oh, they're gone.
Why were those cats killed?
And so she was very surprised and very upset. So
think how the cats must have felt. Yeah.
So later, Mana has an interaction with Penny and asks about these cats. Well, he asks about did you see Sue Scott? There's a tape recording or an audio recording of this, by the way.
So just to be clear, there were six original kittens?
Yeah, there were six original kittens. We trapped two of them, brought them back to the shelter. Sue was told that she could come pick them up the next morning.
And dead.
They were supposed to be alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yes. Sue, I pulled into the parking lot and I seen her car there. And so I automatically saw Penny and I was like, oh, Sue's here to pick up the cats. And she said, no, the cats are euthanized, and I already told Sue that they're euthanized, and I said that I didn't euthanize them. They're still in the back. And, I mean, there's a whole recording.
So, okay, well, why were these cats killed? Who killed the cats?
That's the number one question. I don't know why they were killed.
Okay.
And the person was ordered to kill the cat by Penny.
Oh, directly. Penny said to an employee, kill these cats, or euthanize these cats, or liquidate these cats, or send these cats up the chimney.
Yes.
Hmm. So, big surprise, and then...
So why would Penny do that?
That's the million-dollar question.
All right, so actually, that's a $500,000 per kitten kind of a thing, but...
A point that needs to be made, though, the cats were not killed. The cats were still alive when Sue was there.
Oh,
they were killed later.
Oh, it wasn't true.
It was not true. And so later...
That's weird. That's really weird.
Well, later, when asked about it, there was some, that's not what I said, that's a misunderstanding, that's not what happened.
Misunderstandings can happen.
So, but as I have opined, there was kind of a change in the timeline from what really happened in the sequence of events, and then later... what was said that happened. Hmm. And to me, this is troubling because Penny is in a very difficult job. In that job, you have to have the absolute highest standard of personal credibility, honesty, and many other attributes. So the fact that a person in this responsible job would make a misstatement on an emotional hot issue is not good. And it continued. Even on the earlier radio show, she stated, these kittens were 4 weeks old, they were not weaned, and they were not healthy. So
that's in contradistinction to what you just said earlier.
And it's in contradiction to the medical records, the printed medical records that are on file at Kauai Humane.
Hmm.
So, again, she is misremembering selectively in a way that supports, a version of events that didn't actually happen, but it would be more convenient for her if that version had in fact happened.
Okay, well, it's difficult for me to believe that five people would come here because of two cats. So it's not just about two cats.
No.
Now this is an anecdote which demonstrates some of the issues and concerns that you have.
Exactly.
But I mean, how many animals go through the Humane Society system here on Kauai on an average year?
It's in the, I think right now it's in the mid 3,000s, maybe 3,000.
So a couple thousand cats and a couple thousand dogs, roughly?
Yes.
More cats than dogs?
A little more cats than dogs.
Okay. Yeah, we have, there's a big feral cat population issue on the island, mm-hmm. and we need some solutions for that.
We do, and that's
and it would be easy.
That's a good topic for a follow-up show.
Yeah, it would be easy just to kill them all and let God decide.
It actually wouldn't be easy to kill them all, and there's a lot of scientific study on that, and like I said, we could talk about that on another show, and it would be great.
All right, well, we've got about 10 more minutes here, and I want to make sure that we get to the most important things. So what are those important things?
I think one important thing is that in the year before Penny's arrival, the Humane Society had made a lot of progress toward better performance.
And what better performance by what metrics?
There's a metric called the live release rate.
Okay.
And there's a...
Explain what that means.
It's how many animals get out alive.
Okay. That,
very simple.
That's pretty straightforward.
And there's a group called... There's a thing called a Sillamar Accords. And this is basically... It was made in a Sillamar, California.
Okay.
So it's basically an agreement among animal shelters that this is how you measure yourself.
Okay.
And so what happened is that in 2013, from 2012 to 2013, you see a big improvement. And then it crashes when Penny is in charge.
And so by improvement, you mean a higher rate of...
animals leaving alive.
Okay.
And so this points to...
And what were those numbers like?
It went from 39 to 48%.
So 39% animals leaving alive?
To 48% animals leaving
alive. Okay. No, backwards.
Prior to her arrival.
Oh, yeah, when she came on board, it went down.
All right, so it was like 50-50, half euthanized, half killed, half leave alive before she got there. And now it's like 60-40, 60% being killed and only 40% getting out alive.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other, that first year, and I think this will be true for this year too, it's the first time in 5 years that less than 1,000 animals were adopted.
Hmm.
So I put myself in the shoes of the employees. You're just seeing so much less good things and so much more bad things that I decide this must be extraordinarily difficult.
Well, it's got to be kind of a difficult job, I would think, in the first place because, not every person that you see walking down the street or at the beach, whatever, can be a good parent to a cat. Cats are particular. I know that I myself have been challenged in providing excellence and care for my little Moku. And I'm pretty blessed that my housemates, kind of fill in some of the blanks on me. So if you guys are listening, thank you so much for that. And you too, Moku. But, it's hard. It's a responsibility to care for an animal. And if you have a couple thousand cats and a couple thousand dogs coming into the Humane Society every year, how many homes can you realistically find for them on our little island?
Well, you could talk to Brandy about the transfer program that she started.
Well, Brandy, could you tell me about the transfer program that I understand you started at the Kauai Humane Society?
We have a transfer program there, and that's basically where we transfer dogs and some cats to mainland shelters that have a higher adoption rate in populated cities such as Portland or San Diego.
Oh, wow.
And so we fly them off the island.
Is it expensive? Do they get, discount tickets if they're years and younger, I think?
No, Alaska, we have a great relationship with Alaska, and they waive the fees. And so
you hear that, Hawaii Airlines? This is your opportunity to step up here.
that's part. That's a great program as well as our field trip program, another program where basically people can check out a dog for the day. They can take them out hiking or to the farmer's market, and they wear an Adopt Me vest. It advertises the dog as well as many of the tourists who do it end up adopting. So those are great, fantastic, progressive programs.
Progressive meaning focused on life-centered outcomes
exactly.
As opposed to killing more animals.
Exactly.
Okay.
Very open-minded. And so both of those, upon Penny's arrival, both of those were very, very, very
scrutinized.
Yes, thank you, Mana. It was witnessed by many of us.
That
That she did not like those programs. It was vocalized, of course, not in front of donors or people in the lobby, but in front of employees. And so, you know, the filter program, I understand you can see a little bit of liability in that, you know, renting a dog out, essentially.
Sure. It's not like a library book.
However, there's so many benefits to it, and so many people are adopting because of that program that it reaps its rewards. And for months and months and months, we heard, oh, it makes my skin crawl every time I see a dog go out on a field trip.
Alive.
And so, you know, we were, you know, before she came on, we were all cheering this program as well as the transfer program.
How many animals do you think it's realistic? Well, how many animals have you been, like, flying off to Portland or San Diego or Seattle?
The program, we started it in December 2012, and it's about 700 at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a significant percentage of the animals. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's really surprising to me. I didn't think that animals were getting... I didn't realize there was a whole population of jet-setting, formerly stray dogs and cats that are being adopted. That's really wonderful.
Yes, it is. It's wonderful, and you know, it really boosted the morale of staff as well.
Because there were less dead animals and more happy live animals and happy people to have them?
Yeah, and when they go to the mainland shelters, they're often adopted within a week, you know, and so I report that back to staff. You know, dogs who'd been there for 3 or 4 months, we're flying them off to the shelter and they're getting adopted. So it really boosted morale. We really celebrated when animals got transferred. We would, you know, do all the preparations in the lobby. But because of, you know, her criticism and...
Her being Penny, the executive director.
Yes. You know, we started doing that in the basement or when she wasn't looking.
You have a basement?
Yeah, we do.
Wow.
And, you know, Mana, even, you know, and different officers, we would rush them out the door
just so that she wouldn't see what kind of animals were going out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kind of almost like Cruella de Vil or something. Wow, did I just say that? What?
It's funny that a very large number of people use that slang, and
for folks who have never seen Disney's lovable 101 Dalmatians, check it out. It's really a heartwarming story.
I would just add that there's
not a plug for Disney.
There's on-island groups too, who could take animals. As with cats, we have just been stiff-armed. With dogs, a lot of people have had some success, but they've also had a lot of challenges. And so this is just a thing where there's been a lot of resistance that doesn't need to be.
Hmm. Right. And, you know, I don't understand that resistance. But, you know, even like he mentioned with the cats, you know, we were refused to transfer kittens, even though we had Oregon Humane Society begging for them for over 10 months. The executive director of Oregon Humane Society called Penny directly and asked for kittens, and she still said no.
How do you know that? Did Penny say, like, at the business meeting or the monthly meeting, like, hey, I got a call today for some cats, and I said no.
Myself and another manager were asking to transfer over and over and over, and then Oregon Humane was asking me, because I'm the contact for the transfer program, and then they told me the director was going to call. After the call, Penny told me, she said, no, we are not doing that.
Hmm. Well, we're coming to the close of the 5 o'clock hour here, but I wanted to give each of you a chance to make a kind of a closing statement or speak to something that hasn't been effectively spoken to yet. So, Mana, if we can start with you.
Sure. I just wanted to make a statement and, you know, maybe have some people ponder some questions in their head.
Pondering is good.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to really focus on the real issues that needed to be addressed here. You know, this is not simply about cats and dogs being euthanized. This is about the board and the ED lying to the community. The board president stated that employees were spreading misinformation and that this is all personality conflicts. Only a few days later, the community found out that the board and ED were the liars after all, claiming only 52% of animals are euthanized when in actuality is 70.
70?
70%.
Wow.
That's a very big lie.
Yeah, well, only 52 is still killing more than half, so that's not really very good in my book.
Yeah. You know, and concerns were voiced at the beginning of this year, but only after it was made public in late May did they start to address them. When it comes to personality conflicts, sure, there are some, but the ED has a very noted track record. It's documented that she leaves previous shelters after only a few years and shattered pieces of its former self. Read the comments on www.pennysestaro.com.
She has her own website where she posts these terrible things about her?
No.
Oh.
It was actually set up by the community.
Oh, okay.
That
makes more sense.
Yeah. There are many volunteers and employees from previous shelters that she worked at voicing their experiences. Perhaps the personality conflicts stem from her.
Do you want to spell out that website?
www.
Well, everybody knows about the W's.
PennyCistaro.com.
Okay. Is there more? Or I want to let everyone have a chance.
There's a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah. Why would someone be employed for only a short amount of time in so many different agencies? What else has the board and ED lied about? Can they be trusted to lead an institution that is so vital to this island? A lot has changed in the 40-plus years of her experience, but it's safe to say that she has not. Living here in Kauai, we all know that there's an extremely large amount of stray dogs and feral cats.
That is true.
We're all aware that we can't save them all, no matter how hard we try. The question is, if someone somewhere is willing to take care of an animal, why not let them? Why would someone choose to euthanize an animal if there is a potential adopter? Examples like the Salt Pond Cat incident speaks volumes to the issues. We live Hawaii, and from a young age, things are ingrained into the very fabric of our being. One of these things is the feeling of aloha. Aloha is not just a word, it's a mindset. It means more than just love and hi. It's also compassion, mercy, and sympathy. It is the feeling that we have for our loved ones, these islands, and our pets. To have such blatant disregard for life is the complete opposite of aloha.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you for saying that. I have to apologize to you and to everyone because I goofed up. I did not play our underwriters at the very beginning of the show, and I didn't do this. This is the most important one, perhaps of all. So I'm sorry, Laura Christine. I love you.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Boy, I should have played that one at the very beginning. I also should have played these.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
And I should have played this.
Laser Bear Productions presents Dave Mason's Traffic Jam. One night only on Friday, June 12th, at the Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6:30, show starts at 7:30. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and co-founder of the legendary band Traffic, Dave Mason, performing with his band all the hits including Dear Mr. Fantasy, Feeling All Right, and We Just Disagree. A journey back to the greatest days of rock with Dave Mason's sight and sound experience. Traffic Jam. Information, tickets, and Golden Circle at 808-896-4845 or at laserbear.com. LAZARBEAR.com.
So thank you very much to Kalaheo Chiropractic, to Dave Mason, who's going to come here and I bet do a wonderful show, for Don Jewell, who did the disclaimer that should have run at the top of the show, and all the underwriters and listeners like you who make programs like Out of the Box possible. So thank you so much for that. So that's the station business I should have done at the top of the show, but I was so excited to get into the show that I kind of glossed over it. So now I have to do the 5 o'clock stuff. So that starts with this.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
That's a legal requirement. That means that we're kosher again. So thank you, FCC. And then I also get to play these.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
So thank you so much to Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui. It's folks like that in partnership with people like you who make this whole community radio shindig possible. So thank you. And I also want to say thank you to all the donators and new members of KKCR. We just had our pledge drive, fund drive, membership drive, overdrive a couple weeks ago, and we made a big chunk of money. So thanks so much to you. So here we are at KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, broadcasting the community's concerns over the community's airwaves. We've been talking with several people here, Ron Hinkle, Brandy Varvel, Mona Brown, Basil Scott, Mark Hurt, and...
You had me, Ron Hinkle.
Oh, and Ron Hinkle.
Yep.
But and him too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark.
Yes, sir.
You're a large donor, a significant contributor to the Kauai Humane Society. We haven't really heard much from you in this conversation, but you've certainly been present and listening to it. What kind of comments do you have from what you heard, and what do you see as what should happen next?
Well, I got involved because of the noise in the community about the Humane Society. And my wife and I have been contacted by a number of people, including donors, some of the employees, about what was going on. And we started looking into what was happening. And the Salt Pond Kitten issue really set it off because Penny had sent my wife an email and kind of explained her side of the story.
And what did Penny say?
She said, Sue was mistaken. You're going to hear a story that's coming out, and Sue was mistaken. The cats were already euthanized, killed, and she was wrong. So with a little investigating, we found out that was incorrect. The cats were still alive when Sue was there. Penny knew they were alive. She was told by Mona that they were still alive. She decided to kill them anyway. And
that just really seems mean.
Well, it is. It's spiteful. And
like,
so,
what did those cats do to her?
Nothing. Not a thing. It's,
were they too cute? Does she not like medium haircuts? Does she only like the hyper polydactyl cats with lots and lots of claws?
I don't know. But as a donor and representing quite a few donors, we don't like the fact that she lied about it. And someone in charge like that should be beyond reproach. They can't lie to the community and the donors about what's going on. You lose confidence. This is a private organization that operates based on the wellness of the community.
Sure, the support and goodwill of the community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if they're going to lie to us about that, it's just not going to happen. We'll find another place to put our money and just not support them. And it's sad for the animals because all she had to do was say, oops, I made a mistake.
Sometimes that's really hard for people.
Well, it's definitely hard for her. And the more we investigated, the more we found out this was her M.O. You go from one shelter to the next.
And by M.O. you mean?
The last shelter.
Mama, tell them what M.O. stands for.
Modus operandi.
There we go. That's Latin, right?
I know. It's a little Latin here.
And modus operandi means the way of doing
things. Way of
things.
Doing business.
Way of doing things, yeah.
Yep. So you look back at her history, and she's left shelters where they had an 80% kill rate.
Hmm.
And shortly after she leaves...
Which is good if that's what you're trying to accomplish, right?
If you're trying to kill animals, hire Penny.
Okay.
That's about how it boils down to.
Basil, we're going to leave the last word to you.
I think that...
And what I'm going to ask you...
Oh.
Sorry. That was poor form on my part.
You picked me up?
I did. I apologize for that. What I want to ask you is, what do you think the pathway to a remedy is. How are we going to get there?
I know that the board wants to correct Penny, but I truly feel you cannot change that leopard's spots.
You think she's
I think she's...
You think she's a...
She's a 40-year veteran.
You think she's a bad Penny?
I guess I do, yeah. I think she is what she is. I think she's demonstrated her approach, her methodology, her philosophy, and her and those things are her modus operandi. I think that, you know, when she came on board here, it was an impossible transition for everybody that worked at the Humane Society. And 75 or 80% of those people are already gone. And so now almost everybody who was there before may very well be gone in the next 6 months. So I think as much as the board seems to want to hold on to Penny, I can't understand why they would want that.
You think they should?
I think she should leave.
You think they should let that Penny...
Let that Penny, yeah.
Drop?
Yes. And I know that's hard, and that may sound harsh, but this is an important job, and we need an outstanding individual to hold this job. There are lots of stories of people who were hired, even with no background in animal organizations, who turned organizations around because they were outstanding leaders. And that's what Kauai needs. I worked as a manager here in a 25-person business. I hired a lot of people. Hawaii can attract people.
Well, it's freaking beautiful here.
It's
so
beautiful.
One of the fringe benefits of your salary is you get to live here.
And there's a lot of people on Kauai or in the islands who I truly think could do a better job. It's harsh. I don't like being, you know, the guy that brings the axe and say, let's axe Penny. But I think what the experiences that we're talking about are the record. This is what has happened in the last 2 years. If we keep doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same result, and it will not
be
good.
Wait a second. I have heard that before.
Well, there's an Albert Einstein quote that's a little bit similar to that.
What does he say? He's kind of a smart guy, yeah?
He says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So I think as difficult a decision as it is, that is a correct decision. And I think then the challenge is this is a broken place with a lot of issues. So the person who takes over is going to need to be very skilled and a very good builder of people and organizations because it has to be put back together. It's like a piece of broken pottery at this point. It's, you know, it needs a person.
It needs to be mended.
Yes.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming in and expressing your views on this topic. I know last week we had, I think Penny was on the show and some other folks as well. So I'm really happy that KKCR can be a forum where everybody can come in and respectfully present their views and their facts and their evidence. And and I think that's kind of what that's kind of what we're striving to do. Because, I mean, obviously, we don't have a dog in the fight. And I don't really know what's right or wrong because I haven't sifted through the financial records and I haven't looked at the email transcriptions and any of that stuff. So, but the story that you all are telling is a very different one from the one that we heard on air last week. And so I think that in the same way that you guys have heard the story of the blind man and the elephant. So they're all like touching a different part of the elephant. One says, oh, it's smooth and creamy. And one says, oh, it's like a tree. And one says, oh, it's like a something else. Depends on what part of the elephant they're holding, right? But these are all valid perspectives and ways to better understand the bigger picture. So I really thank you guys for coming in, especially, you know, employees of an organization where you're not saying the most nice things about your boss. So I imagine that these aren't steps that you take lightly.
No, it's not.
So I wish you good luck with that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not always fun to wash dirty laundry in public, but sometimes if those stains are really, you know, stubborn, you got to scrub pretty hard.
Absolutely.
So thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate that. We're going to go to a caller I hope is still with us. and Andrea Brower, if it's at all possible. And if so, thank you so much for sticking with us. And I want to thank you guys for coming in. I can't really like stop the show and tell you how great you were and thank you, but you guys were great, and thank you for coming in. Really appreciate that. So I believe on the phone with us is Andrea Brower. Are you still there, Andrea? Maybe. Maybe not. Okay. How about now? Can you hear us? Aloha caller, you're on the air. Try that set button right there. Andrea, if you are listening, please do call in to KKCR at 826-7771. Andrea Brower hopefully will be getting in soon and giving us a report on the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or the transnational power grab that globalized corporations are trying to push so that they don't have to follow the laws of any individual country about their trade policy, about worker safety issues, about pay equity, about health and safety, about environmental issues, and all that stuff. And if you've been paying attention on the news, maybe you're aware that the Congress and the Senate is trying to abdicate responsibility and allow the executive branch to fast-tracking. That's where nobody gets to add any amendments or even discuss the substance of the issues. So I think we've got a caller on with us now. Aloha,
hey,
caller.
Jonathan.
Hey.
Hey.
Andrea Brower. Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me okay? I can hear you fine.
Fantastic. Andrea Brower, thanks so much for calling into the show. Please tell people who you are and why you know so much about the TPP.
Okay, well, my name's Andrea. I'm from the east side of Kauai. I live in Aotearoa, New Zealand right now, where I'm in grad school, mostly studying global food politics, some of that having to do with international trade. I am by no means an expert on the TPP, but I have been following it pretty closely, and I do appreciate this time to kind of let people know what's going to be happening tomorrow. We're going to be facing a big vote in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, what is happening tomorrow?
So tomorrow the House is going to vote on giving fast-track authority to
right.
the Obama administration. This has already been approved on the Senate side.
Oh, it's been approved. I thought it was denied.
It was denied and then approved after a little bit of trading and negotiating between some senators. Yeah.
So they denied it before they approved it.
That's correct.
Sounds...
They denied it, and then 2 days later they approved it. There were just... a couple senators who had a few remaining issues that they wanted to see addressed. So,
well, when I heard the first vote, it was like 67-32 or something.
Yeah, there was sort of a power block in the Senate that shifted things that way, but that caucus just had to be moved over.
So they flipped.
They knew it would eventually go through the Senate. The Senate was pretty much already on board with fast track. There were just a few little things, but what that vote did indicate is that there is a lot of public pressure on Congress people in general to be more accountable in these negotiations. So it did get through the Senate a couple weeks ago. Where the battle really is at is in the House of Representatives. And we thought that we had a pretty strong opposition within the House, but the pressure on them has been so great from the Obama administration, as well as from corporations that are literally just pouring in
bajillions of dollars.
Well, yeah, it's hard. Actually, we do have some amounts that are coming in right now. The Guardian just published an article.
And The Guardian, that's yesterday. The Guardian UK, that's the newspaper out of Britain?
That's correct, yeah. They just published an analysis of the funds that were rolling into senators in the few months before the fast-track vote on the Senate side. So people can actually go look up a table of how much corporations were giving to each senator.
I'm sure it's approximately a bajillion dollars.
It's hard to kind of sort these numbers out these days, isn't it? Because they're just so big.
Right. Well, and then there's all the dark money. You know, that's that new kind of money that astronomers have just discovered, which seems to mysteriously shape the political landscape.
Yes, the dark money, too. We're living in a dollarocracy, that's for sure. And the sooner we come to terms with that, I think the sooner we'll start looking for systemic solutions to actually change back to democracy.
You mean revolution?
Well...
Come on, say it.
there's different forms of revolution, but let's get back real quick because I don't know if we're going to open up the phones or anything, but to fast track tomorrow, the House is going to vote. What fast track would do is it would basically do...
Yeah, please, thank you. Please explain what is fast track.
Okay, so fast track would give to the Obama administration, Congress usually has the authority to negotiate trade, and it would instead hand that authority over to the Obama administration.
Why in the world would the Congress and the Senate want to give up their power to Obama? Why in the world? Because, I mean, I hear nothing but mean things that the Republicans are saying. Like, oh, Obama's a power grab. Oh, he's a tyrant. Oh, he's a socialist. I mean, they say all kinds of things. But, I mean, it basically boils down to, for some reason, I can't understand, they don't like him very well. So why in the world would they want to, like, abdicate their responsibility and give the executive branch more power? That doesn't make any sense.
That's a good question. Well, it kind of points to the contradictions in a lot of the rhetoric, doesn't it? Basically, they know that if the TPP and similar agreements, because there are three large international treaties currently under negotiation.
Oh, really?
So
I only knew about the TPP, the toilet paper treaty.
No, there are three. The TPP will be the first to come up, but if fast track passes, then it will pertain to all three of these agreements.
Oh, how nice. So it's a threefer. It's a trifecta abdication of responsibility.
It is. Well, it'll grant him fast track authority for 3 to 6 years. And what
for
that
three
does,
to 6 years?
That's correct.
But he's only got 2 years left.
Well,
do they know something that we don't know about Obama's third term?
No, sorry. So not to him. It'll grant the president the executive branch.
Whoever she or he is.
That's correct.
And by she or he, I mean Hillary Clinton.
Perhaps. So the why, because you asked why would they hand over fast track authority, is basically they know that these agreements will not withstand Democratic debate. And what
right.
fast track does is it forces Congress people to vote yes or no. And within a limited number of days, under this bill that's being proposed, it will be 90 days. And they cannot have extended debate on it. They cannot amend it at all. So it basically forces Congress people to do a blanket yes or no vote. And
yeah, like Roberts rules for robots. But I mean, in the Senate and the Congress, I mean, the Congress critters and the senatorial, I mean, that's all they do is talk and debate and make amendments and have motions and this and that and la la la. So why in the world would they say, okay, well, for the next 3 to 6 years, I won't really be a senator?
Well, they know that, okay, so a lot of people, a lot of our Congress people do want to see these agreements passed, and they know that there's no chance that they will pass if they actually have to go through a Democratic debate. So,
what kind of a debate?
Yeah, a Democratic debate. I mean,
oh, wait a second, is this still America or what? What, did I miss something? I thought we were a Democratic Republic. That's what I learned in history in grade school and stuff.
Well, we spend a lot of our lives unlearning what we're initially taught, don't we?
That's very well said. You sound to me like you have learned a few things.
So, do you want? Should I just give kind of a quick rundown of what so you said you knew about what the TPP is?
What are the other two?
So there's the Transatlantic Trade and Investment and Partnership Agreement, TTIP, which is similar to the TTP, but with Europe, and there's been slightly more transparency around that one. And then there's TISA, which is the Trade and Services Agreement, which is actually the largest and most secretive of all the agreements.
Oh, good. I love secret agreements.
It's largest in terms of the number of countries that it includes. It includes 50 countries, and it has been most secretive of all of them. But WikiLeaks actually was able to get a hold of and do a release of documents from CISA last week. It deals with services, so things like internet, postal service, transportation, and basically it's a push, like the other agreements, for deregulation and for privatization. It mostly deals with services, whereas the TPP and the TTIP really deal with everything. And this trio of international treaties is basically establishing a new system of international law.
Sounds like some kind of trans-global underbutt where corporations just have free will to free reign to, burn the planet out or something. I mean, where's all this industrial macro trade policy supposed to get us anyway? Is it going to make everyone a millionaire? Because I would vote for that.
Well, that might be what you start to believe, because there's a lot of rhetoric around economic growth for everybody and lifting all boats and these things. And I would just say, I want to kind of like premise the whole conversation about these international treaties, that I personally think we do need international laws.
Okay.
That extend human rights, that are about environmental protection.
That sounds
are
good.
About raising working conditions for everybody.
You I
know,
like
we
that.
We have an international economic system, and we need international laws to regulate corporations, to hold them accountable.
That sounds good.
Under our current system, corporations go to the most exploitable place of production.
In sure.
other words, the places that have the least environmental standards and labor protections. And what the TPP does is it extends those rights, and it makes it easier for capital or corporations to cross borders and find more exploitable places of production. It's like NAFTA and other free trade agreements that have come before it, but it's only more expensive.
Yeah, but I mean the TPP and the, I'm just going to call it the TAP, the transatlantic flim flam, and then the services and trades garbage. Wow, I totally lost my train of thought. Save me.
Okay, so I was just saying I do think that we need international agreements, but we need them to take us in the opposite direction that these agreements are taking us.
Thank you. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. So yeah, good. One of the more flagrant aspects of the TPP that a lot of people across the political spectrum are calling attention to are these corporate tribunals under this kind of cryptic title of Investor State Dispute Settlement, ISDS. What it basically does is it sets up private corporate tribunals with three private attorneys overseeing them to allow corporations to sue democratic governments for democratically passed laws that they say infringe on their profits or their expected profits.
So corporations, which are not people, my friend, are saying that they shouldn't have to follow laws that they don't want to.
That's right. And not only should they not have to follow laws they don't want to,
but people who pass laws that they don't like should have to pay them money for doing that in the first place.
That's right.
That's a pretty great business position.
It is, and it's interesting you say that, because a whole industry has actually erupted around pursuing these corporate tribunal cases. So in the past few years, under that corporate tribunal system that we had in place under bilateral agreements like NAFTA and CAFTA and other free trade agreements, you have suddenly seen a proliferation of these cases. And I could give a few examples. They're really quite shocking when you start to flip through some of the cases that have been won. For example, against Ecuador for deciding to terminate an oil contract with a company there that was breaking its laws.
Okay.
Ecuador.
Wait. So you just so I'm a little slow. So just to catch up with what you're saying, you're going to provide an example where a corporation, a petroleum company, was breaking environmental law in Ecuador, and then what happened?
So actually, they were breaking. They were breaking a different kind of law. They sold their shares to another company, and basically, Ecuador wanted to terminate their contract
okay.
In the country. and they were sued for $2.3 billion.
Ecuador was sued.
That's right.
Okay.
Ecuador was sued by Occidental Petroleum Corporation for $2.3 billion. Did they win? Yes, they did. They won that case.
And who were the people that made that verdict that Ecuador should have to pay the petroleum company $2.3 billion for trying to illegally sell their lease to drill oil and stuff?
That's a really good question. So these ISDS cases go before these private tribunals that are staffed by three private lawyers and
Private corporate lawyers?
Well, a lot of the times these lawyers also work for corporations and pursue these cases for corporations.
That's a very strong business position.
Yeah, there's been a bit of, I guess you could call that a revolving door, but a jump between positions on these. The latest analysis I saw estimated that 70% of cases that have gone before the courts have been won by the corporations.
Sounds awesome. I bet you they're pleased as punch about all this.
Yeah, well, it does just, yeah, it kind of brings corporate rights to a whole other level of absurdity, really.
Which I guess is the whole point. So, so clearly, in this new system that they are already well advanced in erecting, there are clear winners.
There are clear winners.
Who are the losers?
The vast majority of people are the losers. So
that doesn't sound very good.
No, it doesn't, does it? I think it's really important to emphasize that, though, because we get kind of lost in a lot of these abstractions around economic growth and GDP and supposed economic benefits, but we're not asking the question benefiting who.
Whom?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And what's contained in all these abstractions? So where is that money actually going? Who is it actually supporting?
To whom?
Sorry.
No.
You're just emphasizing
yes,
my point.
Yes, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. And plus, it's fun to say whom because it's kind of like an archaic word and you don't get to use it every day.
I guess I don't use archaic words very often.
Oh, I love them. We'll talk about that another time. But anyways, back to this corporate takeover of the world that is creating a very small number of hyper-wealthy winners, and check my math on this, billions of losers.
Yeah, I think that, yes, it is creating billions of losers. The TPP encompasses 40% of the world economy, 12 different countries. The TTIP will encompass even more of the world's economy, I think at 60%. So, yeah, it's a lot of developing countries.
That's like 100%, yeah?
Well, I don't know if it's even 60-40.
Okay, but that's like most of it.
Yeah,
You get all the Atlantic nations and all the Pacific nations, and you pretty much got it all in the bag.
Yes, the intent is to, because the WTO, the World Trade Organization.
I know them well.
Largely, even though they have, they're very powerful and a lot happens through them, some of the original plans to create this whole new system of international law through it failed because of popular resistance and protest.
And in Seattle, that whole thing just got shut down.
So since the WTO, we have seen a lot of bilateral and multilateral treaties signed as kind of the next strategy. So that was your NAFTA, your CAFTA. And now these are just going to a new level with the TTP and the TTIP. And I think they're kind of more expensive and more absurd than people even imagined we could go when the WTO and other agreements were being negotiated.
Yeah, so this is like the WTO. Well, okay, you had NAFTA, and then you had the WTO, which was like NAFTA on steroids. And then you have the TPP, which is like the WTO on steroids So I see a lot of, like, testicle shrinking down the road for all these people. I mean, there's going to be negative consequences for all these steroid-driven corporate trade fantasies.
Yeah, I'm not...
It's a metaphor.
Sorry. I think it's, the WTO, what largely, some of the aims there failed because there was more transparency around what was happening, and that's part of the reason that the TPP, TISA and TTIP have been kept so secret, because they know that there's no way these agreements would actually get through if there was transparency around them. So whereas 600 corporate advisors have been privy to the text and been part of the negotiations.
For the TPP.
For the TPP.
That's more, that's 600, that's more than all of the senators and congresspeople combined. That's like 535, so.
Well, and congresspeople haven't even had the right to look at that text until fairly recently when they kind of made some huff about it, and now they're allowed to go into the basement for 1 hour and look at the text without their staff people, without phones or cameras or note-taking abilities.
Can they wear clothes? Can they have water? Are they able to bring...
Sure. I haven't asked those questions.
Can they bring eyeglasses or things to assist them? How many pages are we talking about, anyway?
Well, there's 29 chapters in the TTP. We don't know...
Oh, we don't know. The answer is we don't know. We don't know. Okay. We don't know.
Three of those chapters have been leaked, or parts of them.
By WikiLeaks.
By WikiLeaks, and actually, they helped make them public. Only five of those 29 chapters have anything to do with traditional trade as far as tariffs and protections and
goods and services.
And even though it's being called a trade agreement, but I don't think we should continue to name it as such because it's inaccurate. And that's what Congress people can see versus what the corporate advisors can see.
Well, if I were the CEO of evilcorporation.com, that's how I'd want it.
Well, it's the only way that these agreements will actually get through, because every time there's a leak. Yesterday, WikiLeaks was able to release a piece of the a document that pertains to some of the healthcare provisions, and it showed how the TPP would extend pharmaceutical companies' patents and undermine places like New Zealand that have more socialized medical systems.
Just so that the listeners clearly understands what a socialized medical system is that is a medical system which is geared to meet social needs.
That's right. So it means that healthcare is considered a basic human right, and that the state helps supply healthcare to keep its citizens healthy.
That seems reasonable.
It's very reasonable.
As a human, I favor things like that.
I do as well. And having experienced New Zealand's medical system, I would say it has.
Do they have good dental?
They actually don't.
New Zealand, you have opportunities to improve.
Yes. Yeah, they definitely have opportunities to improve. But just to conclude on this health chapter that was, or the health annex that was released by WikiLeaks, once that became public information, huge sectors of civil society mobilized because
Just so that people, I kind of do the Gilligan thing sometimes. So when you say huge sectors of the population mobilized, you could also say when people found out what was going down, they were really upset and took action.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry. You're right. So human rights groups, healthcare provider groups, Doctors Without Borders, all sorts of organizations have come out against the TPP, and expert analysts have been able to talk about how it would really undermine healthcare systems in a lot of places, make medicine more expensive for people, so because we had some light shed on those particular provisions of the TPP.
You could see all the beetles and grubs and creepy things crawling around when you lift up the rock.
That's right. So the point I was making in a very roundabout way was that this is one of the reasons why there has to be so much secrecy, to try to get these agreements through.
Because what little we've seen looks terrible.
That's right.
Well, that all sounds terrible.
But there are things we can
there we go.
Do.
That's exactly, yes. Thank you. Because I don't want to bring people down, and we only have 20 minutes left, and I want to get my mom on because she's awesome. And your mom's awesome too, by the way.
If Fast Track passes tomorrow, I do think it will be a day to mourn. But we still have until tomorrow. And
what about our congresspeople here in Hawaii? What about Tulsi Gabbard? For example.
Okay, so I'm going to give their phone numbers. They have both stated their opposition to the TPP, but you have to also keep in mind that they're getting immense pressure from the White House right now, and we need to keep them strong on it. But I would also like to see our congresspeople, our senators, and our House members come out very strongly and critically against the TPP. And, you know, there is more they can do. I think kind of... This is such a big deal. It requires greater acts of resistance. And so Congress members could actually leak parts of the text. They could be much more strongly outspoken. Senator Warren's been great on this. She's actually put out a number of research reports.
That's Elizabeth Warren, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So I think we need to demand that our Congress people stand up even louder on these things. But
all right, well, I just want to say that this is a big issue, and certainly a full court press sounds like it's completely appropriate. But specifically, right now, to the person who is listening to this conversation, what they could do is call Tulsi Gabbard and say what?
Well, I think I don't want to put words in people's mouth. I think it would be important for people to form some of their own conclusions. I mean, you can just read a couple articles and start to get a sense of what the TPP is, what Fast Track is, what parts concern you most. I mean, it covers such a range of everything from internet freedoms to environmental and climate change protections to labor standards to corporations suing governments. So whatever most galvanizes you, I would say that's what you should bring up to Representative Gabbard.
Let me ask you this then. What is Tulsi's phone number?
Okay, good question. So she's got 808-541-1986 or 202-225-4906.
And who is our other congressperson. Who is our other congressperson?
That's Mark Takai.
Oh. Wow, I don't even know who that is. Wow, how embarrassing for me.
Well, he's a big play, Paul. We don't know what's happening sometimes across the ocean.
Mark Takai?
Yep, Mark Takai.
Is he like Sulu's nephew or no?
I'm not sure.
I digress. Please continue.
Okay.
What is Mark Takai's phone number?
His number is 202.
This is his D.C. number.
Yeah, D.C. numbers, and that works too. I think that's where they are right now. 202-225-2726.
Okay, and his Oahu number?
I don't actually have his Oahu number.
All right, scratch that. Okay, so if folks have been intrigued by what they have heard, and want to find out more, I'm sure there's a bajillion, that number again, sites on the internet where they can learn more. Do you have one that you could point folks to?
Yeah, I would start for basic information with Public Citizen.
Is that publiccitizen.org?
That's right, yeah. And I think it's /TPP for the TPP in particular, but you'd be able to find it pretty easy just from their site there. And there are also a lot of different petitions, a lot of groups, groups concerned about pesticides to net neutrality to unions have just template letters that you can sign. There's also petitions asking Congress people to step it up more and either leak the text, or if they're on the Intelligence Committee, they could release the entire text if they think it is a threat to national security, which they would have a strong case for.
If they're on the intelligence committee, they could show everybody how smart they are and take that action. So, yeah. So, Andrea Brower, I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for making the time.
Oh, well, no, it's my pleasure. And so thank you so much. And please do call again when there's more updates or more actions that you feel, you know, will help tip the balance and stuff.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And thanks to KCR.
All right. Aloha.
Okay, aloha.
So Tulsi Gabbard's number, if you want to give her a ring, is I'm going to give you her DC number, is 202-225-4906. And Mark Takai, our other congressperson here in the state of Hawaii, his DC number is 202-225-2726. Going to take a real quick call from a caller because I've been really terrible on the phone because there's been so much to cover and I have only so many fingers, but real quick comment, then I want to get my mom on. As a matter of fact, Mom, why don't you just, you know, join us here? We have a caller on the phone. Thank you so much for calling in, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Well, I just called Mark Takai's phone number, and his voicemail box is full.
Oh, that's good.
Tulsi Gabbard's was open, and I said that we don't want the TTP or whatever. It's going to be like those old, you know, slave ships where everybody's chained to the oars and someone's beating the drum. And,
right.
And you and me are going to be rowing.
Oh, no, I'm going to be surfing that day. I am not on that boat. Yeah, I'm not on that
plus
boat.
Plus, too, I really appreciate those other noble people for the employees.
Coming on,
I really want to thank all of them because they were speaking the truth and Penny should be fired. I'd like to know who brought her in, who hired her, because
one of the fellows who was here, he said he was on the board when she was hired. So he acknowledged that he was kind of a little bit of a rubber stamper. So I really appreciated that kind of frank admission.
All those people were just really great and wonderful. I'm glad they cleared the air and let us know that, you know, it's, even though we need a special person who's talented to run the SPCA, it doesn't take much. It's very simple to be honest, like those kittens. The dishonesty, it's just like, you're fired, Penny. I'm sorry, you know. You know,
well, Danny,
find another job.
Danny.
I mean, no offense, but, you know, if you have to join the ranks of the unemployed, you know, I mean, too bad.
Danny.
What?
I would very much like to introduce you to my mother.
Well, listen, Mom, your son is a wonderful guy, and I'd like to know when you first realized he had such a great sense of humor. And I'll leave it at that. And thanks for the great show, Jonathan.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. It's like this. He was born with it.
Really? I just came out talking and saying sort of quirky things?
Talking, walking, writing, painting, wow, a little bit of roller skating.
Mom, I got that $10 for you.
Thanks, I can use it.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I don't think that could possibly have been true. I don't think I was roller skating until I was like maybe 8 or 10. But...
You didn't ask for the truth.
Oh, well, the truth...
Nothing but the truth.
The truth. The truth is good to stick to. Let's see what this next caller has to say. Welcome, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box. And I would love to introduce you to my mom.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Please meet my mom, Helen.
Hey, caller.
Helen, caller. Caller, Helen.
Welcome aboard.
Nice to meet you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Did you have a question or a comment or... A new topic.
Comment on the KHS program.
Oh, okay.
Discussed earlier.
Sure,
Thank
you. Please do. And I apologize. The phone was ringing a lot, and I just couldn't get to it. So thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Yep. I just wanted to say for the salt pond kittens and also the other animals that have been euthanized that KHS, it's not just an ethics issue because Penny's a star alive. It's also not just an issue of being inhumane to the animal. There actually is a county ordinance that states all animals taken to KHS will be held for a mandatory time of 48 hours. So when she killed the salt pond kittens, in that under a 48-hour time limit, she actually broke the law.
Well, let's
be... done that for 2 years.
Let's be clear that, as I understand it, she didn't actually kill the kittens. She just told somebody else to do it.
She was in the position of power to make sure that was done, and she violated the law in doing so.
Well, yeah, it seems like it's kind of a troubling situation, especially because, you know, I mean, animals, they can't call up their congresspeople and say, hey, don't stop euthanizing me. You know, they can't speak for themselves. So they really rely on human beings to be compassionate and responsible and caring and to
be ethical.
Yeah. And all those things. So all those things that we all strive. I hope that we're all striving to be. That's certainly what I am striving to embody myself. I suppose I should just speak for myself. So thank you very much for calling in.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for taking the call.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
And we have another caller on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box. Caller, I would love to introduce you to my mother. Mother, caller, mother.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mama. How's it going?
Not half bad.
All right. Excellent. Jonathan, I've got a couple things.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
First of all, I want to thank those five folks from the KHS to come on and speak their truths. I think it was really heavy. I think it's really important that we all stand up to Penny, because I know she's in a very tough position.
I don't think that the job is an easy job.
I don't think it's an easy job either, but you know what? Neither is being a mother, and neither is being a truck driver. But if you're going to get in a truck driver's seat, you better know how to drive the truck.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, wheels.
Yeah, well, right. And so for her to, A, lie about stuff, B, let animals sit in their poop for a major portion of the day when, you know, they've got workers there that can be assigned to cleaning those cages. I've been a volunteer at the Humane Societies in a couple of different cities on this planet. And, you know, when you see something out of line, go do it. If you're being told by the executive director that you can't go and clean a cage, or you've got to put an animal down just to spite somebody else, that person shouldn't be in the driver's seat. Shouldn't be. So I would vote for, you know, getting a panel of people that want to be a valuable executive director, and let's see who else is going to step up to the plate, and maybe we could find a really valuable animal loving, people loving community person that is willing to step on board. But, you know, when I collect a lot of animals out of the wild, and
oh, you're a collector.
Well, I'm a rescuer, really.
Oh, okay.
But in addition to rescuing them, I have indeed collected a whole bunch of them, because I won't turn them into the Humane Society, because I know what goes on beyond the closed doors there. So I think we just now are becoming aware of it, you know, as the whole population is becoming more aware, and let's do something about it, because what is happening is our animals are not getting the quality standards that they should be.
Well, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your views. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. One quick thing, though, John.
Real quick.
I was super, super frustrated listening to them, because you overlapped them a whole lot. You didn't let them speak enough.
It's a really bad habit of yours.
And I know you have a lot of funny jokes to say and a lot of little, you know, this is and that, but I think you need to step back and take a listen to the people that are on there before you overlap with your comments, because it was super frustrating for me to really try to get the information from the people that you had on.
I really appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome. And it's not a diss. It's
no.
creative criticism.
That's how I'm taking it.
All right, excellent.
Because I think you're right. So I want to thank you for that very much. We've got just a few more minutes here left in this show, and then you're going to have a fantastic show coming up, which is Evolve, which if we all did some of that, I think we'd all be better off. So that's kind of what I'm striving to do. But in these last minutes in this show, Mom.
Yes.
How do you think I received that criticism there?
the best way to receive criticism is exactly what you did.
Oh, good.
You listened to it, you acknowledged it, and there was a definite thread of, I'm going to do it better. Thank you.
Do you have any criticism that you'd like to give me? Because, I mean, mom's prerogative, right?
Nah, my heart's too soft right now.
Aww. Well, maybe you have a list of things you can tell me off the air.
Here you go.
All right. I love you, Mom. And I'm so glad that I was able to go to Brooklyn and bring you back here. And I feel a little sad that you're going to be leaving in just a couple of days. But I know that you're going to have a good time on Saturday at the Hanalei races. They're going to be great, big, huge paddle races. And they're very exciting. And if you, the listener, did not know there's going to be a whole bunch of paddle racings on Saturday at Hanalei Bay, now you do. I think that things are going to be gathering around 11, and then I think the races are probably going to start around noon, and I think they're going to be a series of sprints back and forth across the harbor. And so you'll be seeing different teams, different different canoe clubs from around the island working with their strength, with their precision, with their technique, and it's a pretty impressive thing to behold, because these are short, sharp bursts of speed across the bay with precision turning. And, you know, the faster you can turn your canoe around, you can actually beat a boat that's got maybe stronger people in there if you're all rowing in unison in impeccable form.
Teamwork.
What was that?
Teamwork.
Teamwork. Yeah, that's so true. So I want to thank you for being here, Mom. And I'm so excited that you're going to come back soon. That's what I'm the most excited. That's the thing that has meant the most to me about this trip, is that you've only been here. You get a taste of Kauai. But
I feel like a cat with one of those toys being bounced over her paws.
Well, I will keep you from the Inhumane Society, Mom.
My fears are now at rest.
Everybody.
Good night, Kauai.
Thanks so much for listening to Out of the Box. If you have ideas for shows, please send me email, jjkauai@gmail.com. That's jjkauai@gmail.com. And I'd be very, very happy to hear what you have to say and to try and put together a show around it. We can work collaboratively to make community radio. That's the way it has to happen. Coming up next is Dove with Evolve, and I think you're really going to dig it. And we're going to go out with some Dave Mason, because I think he's coming up in a little bit. So here's some Mr. Fantasy. Thanks so much, everybody. Stick around for a great show coming up. Aloha, ahui ho, ma lama pono.